my good people. We are back. We are back. We are back. We are back. And we brought the warm weather with us. That's right. Adam and I are back from our California vacation, and we brought the warm weather all the way back to Winnipeg. When we left, it was like minus 40. We come back, and we see grass.
Yep.
So you're welcome, Winnipeg. I'm not going to take sole credit, because I'll share it with Adam. But the two of us, the two of us will absolutely take credit for this wonderful weather that we're having, and we're going to celebrate the wonderful weather that we're having by having a wonderful hour-long episode of Game Over to talk about. Not just the warm weather, but presumably other topics, including potentially, huge if true, video game news. It's big if it's true. I am your father's son, the goalie host, Simon Pazza, joined in studio with my faithful squad mates, Adam Pazza and Matthew Menya. How are we doing, lads?
I'm having a day.
You're having a
day. It's just...
I texted like, those exact words to my girlfriend earlier. I was like, it's been a day.
Yeah. We won't go into it, but like, it. Yeah.
Yeah, it was.
I'm looking forward to this lifting my spirits today.
It was a high octane little vacation that we just had. You know, sometimes we say that you need a vacation after the vacation.
I definitely need a vacation.
That's never been more true.
than
after this particular one. But we won't get into our vacation details. I mean, we could start a side podcast where we talk about our vacation details if you really wanted to, and if you wanted that, and even if you don't want that, especially I would say if you don't want that, please let us know on Facebook, facebook.com/. Game Over UMFM. Like us on there and let us know your thoughts. You can also find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and pretty much wherever else you got your podcasts. Housekeeping stuff's out of the way. Matt, mm-hmm. You've been here.
I have.
Have you been playing anything? Adam and I hadn't had a ton of time.
Yeah. I've been going strong with Magic Arena. I'm a big fan of the new set. It's not all that new now. It's been out for about a month. But yeah, I've been doing lots of that. I also played a very old game.
Oh.
Very old in quotations. Is a game that I may have drunkenly bought off Amazon like last year. It's a NASCAR racing game called Dirt to Daytona.
Whoa.
Huh. I've never heard of that.
A friend of mine had when I was in like grade 4, and we just went super hard on it for like 2 weeks. I found it for like $15, so I picked it up on a whim. And it's like, I can't say that it's good, but it's some like real good nostalgia.
Hmm.
The career mode, you kind of apparently, because I'm not a racing fan, but yeah. Apparently NASCAR has like 5 or 6 divisions, and so you like start at the very bottom and sort of like work your way up and get better and upgrade your car until you know you move up divisions and then like actually like you know race in like the proper NASCAR series or whatever. It's been you know some good nostalgia the last little week or so.
How old is that game?
I want to say like 2003 or 2004.
That's pretty old.
Man, I was going to say, because that sounds like you could have just listed off the information on an NHL video game coming out in 2020.
Yeah.
It's like it's brand new. You're actually going to be able to start at the bottom and work your way up.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. November 2002 on the PS2 and GameCube.
There you go.
Yeah, it's been a good time.
Occasionally, I think that, I mean... God, the years just fly by now, but it might be once a year to once every 2 years. I'll just get caught by the racing game bug for like 2 weeks. Usually it's Mario Kart, to be fair.
Yeah.
But occasionally you do just whatever it is that you're into. You just get the feeling, I just want something a little more hardcore.
Yeah. So I used to play a lot of Need for Speed. A couple of my friends were pretty into Forza.
Oh.
Yeah.
And I think the last one that we played like regularly was maybe Cruisin' USA, which is back on the N64, and Arcade Days. That's where most people probably played on the arcade, but you can of course play it on the N64.
Man, I used to love all the Burnout games.
Oh yeah,
those were good. You could like actually do some like semi-legit racing. I mean, it was pretty arcadey, but it felt kind of legit. But it was just fun to just absolutely run into everything and like see how much like you know one of the game modes was just crash and see how much like monetary damage you can cause.
Oh yeah,
and
I
that
remember
was
hearing about that,
that determined the winner. That was
That's
ton of
cool.
fun.
Yeah, that was a smart game mode. I think I remember renting that. Now I'm dating myself again. Okay, so the other major news, I don't know if you guys, before we get into what I was playing and what I've been playing, the other major news was Animal Crossing had its own Nintendo Direct. The new Animal Crossing is coming out next month in a little less than a month on March 20th. It's called Animal Crossing New Horizons. Now, I have some new features here, like you're going to get a phone with an app and you're going to be on a mostly unexplorable island and all this stuff. And here's the thing. You can look up the features online. I'm not really an Animal Crossing person, and I'm frantically hoping that one of you, particularly Matt, is, because nope. I've seen... No, I'm getting a no here. because I've seen the internet go into total meltdown mode. Now, I don't know your guys' experience with Animal Crossing. This might be the thing, kind of thing where, similar to other games, like Jedi Fallen Order, one of us has to bite the bullet and then share it with the other ones.
Yeah.
But... it just seems to be the type of thing that, like, it's got such a dedicated hardcore community. It's coming out on the same day as Doom Eternal, which is kind of funny because apparently fan bases have kind of teamed up on Reddit to be like, yeah, our new thing is coming out next year. A more unlikely friendship you'd be hard-pressed to find. But yeah, I've known people, like, good friends of mine who have been addicted to Animal Crossing for weeks and weeks and weeks on end. And to my understanding, again, this would be the kind of thing where I would love to be enlightened on Facebook. Feel free to send a big message with everything that we're missing on here. And maybe if you're on the university Mondays, maybe we'll even get you in. Because I would love to have someone who actually knows what the hell they're talking about. Because
yeah.
I don't want to just come on here and not. It seems like it's a semi-serious like simulation game. The closest I've done, I've played a good amount of Harvest Moon. Mm-hmm. But it seems like it's even more hardcore than that. So it's like this relatively hardcore social simulation game with like a bunch of deep, deep, deep mechanics where you sort of build your own town, a world, and you control, but you influence things. And mm-hmm. It's part of it that feels very organic, but it's all hidden under a very cutesy, everyone's an animal skin, which helps bring people in, and then the hardcore addicting simulation is what keeps them in. So it's kind of been on my periphery. I'm interested to hear what your guys' experience is with this. But this might be the kind of thing where I go to EB Games and I'm like, here's three old games, give me a brand new one.
Yeah.
And then bite the bullet? I mean, people go crazy over it, so this might be the one. I've said that about different franchises in the past, and it hasn't always worked out, but this might be the one. I'm not sure. Now, do you have an experience?
Not really. My sister loved the original Harvest Moon on DS, and so I heard her talk about it a lot. But yeah, at the time, you know, I maybe played it for like 20 or 30 minutes.
Harvest Moon or Animal Crossing?
Oh, sorry, Animal Crossing.
See?
Not Harvest Moon. Big fan of Harvest Moon.
Isn't it the same game?
Right. That's why it's so confusing that we've both never tried it and yet we've played Harvest Moon.
Yeah. To me, it always felt like a mix of Harvest Moon and like the town parts of Dark Cloud. If that makes sense.
Okay.
I don't know. That's in my head. That's like kind of always what it was. But yeah, I maybe played like 30 minutes total of Animal Crossing. And I never really got the appeal. Maybe it was just the wrong age. I was like 13 or 14, you know, which is like definitely probably the most like angsty, like, no, I hate this demographic possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I never really got the appeal of it. Obviously there is a huge appeal because tons and tons of people absolutely adored that game.
Yeah.
And most of the like hardcore fans seem to be excited for it. You know, when I watch people's reactions to, you know, any of the announcements that come out for the game, people seem really excited about it. And so I'm assuming that it's going to be good, but I never really understood or got the appeal of the first one. So I'm still kind of that way. I'm like, I'm glad you like it. It's not really my thing. Maybe I'll try it, but I don't know. If it wasn't such a big thing, I would 100% just give it a pass. But I feel like with all the hype behind it, I kind of maybe need to try it.
Yeah. Adam, what do you...
I know nothing about Animal Crossing, except that it's basically Harvest Moon. That is the some extent...
But bigger. That's the weird thing. It's like we're comparing it to its smaller, less successful cousin. Because New Leaf, there are people, and they're not hard to find, who will be like, New Leaf is the best DS/3DS. I don't even honestly know which one it came out on. The 3DS, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm staring at the page, Adam. You don't have to look it up. 3DS. Okay. New Leaf is the best 3DS game. And you can't convince them otherwise.
Huh.
There's nobody. I haven't run into a single person who's that hardcore about Harvest Moon. You know, like, you hear people like, oh, I go to conventions. I go to Comic-Con. I go to Icon.
Yeah.
And I'll bring my DS specifically because of the connections, like the social connections with
it.
And you'll feel like people will talk about, they'll feel like guilty because they didn't go back to their town for a while. And then it's like, oh, I need to check in on them.
And everyone's dead.
Well, it's almost like, it reminds me of like Tamagotchi stuff.
Yeah, I was thinking that
but
too.
Considering it's so huge, I'm just looking at the list. The first one came out in 2001, then 2005, then 2008, then 2012, and now 2020. So it's been an 8-year gap. That's a pretty long wait for a franchise. So, yeah, I mean, if it gets even moderately positive reviews, I might have to try and dig deep in the bank vault and try and make this work to at least test it out. God, I wish you could rent games.
I know. What's that? These kids today will never know.
These kids, oh yeah. Well, I mean, they just get to play less games. That's the problem. It's just, it's not good. I did see that Disco Elysium is on sale on Steam.
Yeah, for 20% off, and I'm like, is that enough, or am I going to wait for more? Yeah,
speaking of games that are very good, apparently that one's very good. So if 20% off is enough for you, feel free to take the plunge with that on Steam. So I've been doing a couple of different things over the past 2 weeks, rather since last I spoke with you lovely gentlemen. I've been doing a replay with my girlfriend of God of War, the 2018 version. Mm-hmm.
Dad of boy, I believe.
Dad of boy. She now totally understands that. And it's funny because, God bless her, she's out there in the studio, not listening, which is fine. But she's totally not a backseat gamer. So I know that there are some girlfriends who are just like, they're in there, they're invested with you. And part of the reason why we're dating is because she's a very independent person who has wonderful, and this is a fantastic compliment for her that I hope she listens to later.
She's not reacting at all. So.
Perfect. She's a very independent person who has a ton of her own interests, which is part of what I find appealing.
Yeah.
But it would be nice if she could just sit in one place and watch the damn game. Oftentimes, there's something insane going on, and I'm tearing up because they're having a father-son moment, and she's looking at her phone. I'm like, no, this is important. And I'm like kicking her from across the house. I'm like, look, he's going to drink the Greek wine. You don't get why this is important, but trust me, it's a big deal that he didn't want to drink the Greek wine, and Kratos showed him how to do it. Because it's from his homeland. I'm just having a moment. but yeah, that game, not that it's been out for too long, less than 2 years, still totally holds up. It's incredible.
Yeah.
And I didn't really need a reason to go back, but considering it's not that long, it's just been a nice return to it. It's like, oh man. But the story is so good that I'm like, I don't want to play even a drop when she's not around, because I'm like, they might tell a story on a boat that's going to be significant. I can't. And Matt, that'll make sense to you once you play the game, I'm sure.
It's inching its way up my like to play list. It's probably next.
Good. So especially because it's not that long too. Yeah. I mean, it can really kind of be as long as you want it to be, because there's a fair amount of side quests and stuff that you can do. But it's like probably a 20 hours to from 0 to 100 if you really wanted it to. Okay. The other thing I did was, and particularly because we were, as I said at the beginning of the show, traveling.
Yeah.
So I'm on long airplanes and car rides across beautiful Southern California. I played through the Fire Emblem Three Houses latest and final DLC, more specifically, and then started on the final route because I've now done three of them, and so I must finish the fourth. Cindered Shadows is the name of the final DLC, and it's more, my review of it is, if you bought the expansion pass, because you can't buy it without the expansion pass.
Okay.
So if you're sitting there like, I don't care about Anna or Yuritsa as playable characters, I don't particularly care about having a sauna. Sure, you know, but I just want to try this out. You can't. You have to buy the whole thing all at once. And so then it gets the question of, is this alone worth the $25? Mm-hmm. I don't know. But in this case, I liked the game so much that it's not one of those DLCs that's necessarily excellent on its own. But it was enough to go back and get an extra playthrough out of me, which is probably like 50 hours.
Yeah.
So in that sense...
All the car rides.
Yeah, exactly. But in that sense, it's kind of worth it. So... let me explain it to you because it's very confusing. Mm-hmm. It's not a quest in the main game. It's not a new story. In fact, there was a very interesting quote. The two main developers, I think the two main writers, two big dogs on the team, did an interview, and they were asked, so it's not the golden route. Why didn't you make Cindered Shadows the revelations, where everyone wins? Because that's part of the thing is when you play these games, spoilers, I guess, for Three Houses, by the time you get... to the end of it, it's always a bittersweet ending. I haven't finished a single one of them, and it was like, everyone won, no one is sad, hooray.
Yeah.
It's always, I wish we could have convinced that person, they probably didn't have to die.
Yeah.
But they did. So they were asked, well, why don't you have that golden root? And one of them was like, I was totally in favor of it. I absolutely wanted to do it. I absolutely wanted to have everyone win. I wanted to have the happy ending. But the other one had an answer that has really, truly made me think further about Fire Emblem, and I'm kind of interested in hearing your opinions on it, too. He basically said, because that's not how history works. You're playing through history. And so the choices, I mean, basically they're saying Byleth is the butterfly effect moment.
Right.
But there's no good, clean side of history. So whichever side you see, that's the version of history that gets told.
Right.
So if you play as Dimitri, you think Edelgard's the total asshole, and she is. if you're playing as Dimitri.
Yeah.
But if you're playing as Edelgard, Dimitri's a total asshole. And it's not because either of them are necessarily good or bad characters, but from that perspective of history, the other one was a monster who needed to die.
Yeah.
And that's just how it goes. And then that really made me think. I was like, man, that's so true. Like, I have people who I hate in this world, but they have friends. So they can't be that bad. It's all perspective. And that kind of was like, man, you guys, in a weird way, there's dragons and there's magic and there's gods and there's goddesses. In a weird way, you camp with this kind of interesting history simulator where it's like you can't get it. And whatever side wins, that's the side that history remembered.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I like that part of it. I wish there was like whatever complaints I have about Three Houses, and I have complaints, one of them is not that there isn't a happiest ending game or version of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm totally okay with them.
Yeah, you don't
like
seem... If I was a betting man, I wouldn't have bet that you were on team Give Me a Happy Ending. I, of course, am.
I mean, having said that, I'm not on team Give Me a Happy Ending, but... And the reason I'm not on team Give Me a Happy Ending is because when you have a happy ending path, that's the right answer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, then there's a... Now there's a right answer. Now there's a way to win.
Yeah, you just pretty much finish the rest of the quote, is that when you have the Revelations version of it, people see that as the correct route.
Yeah. And it was the same thing with Mass Effect, right? Obviously, the best way to get through any of the Mass Effect games is for as few people to die as possible.
Well, yeah, but that, I mean, yes. That's why, if we're talking about Mass Effect 3's ending, which of, why do we have to bring that up again?
No, I'm talking about Mass Effect 2.
Okay.
We don't speak of Mass Effect 3's ending.
That's what I'm saying, though, but that would have been, that's another argument for, they might have been able to say, well, there's no golden ending for Mass Effect 3, but it's like, well, that's the game you built, whereas the Fire Emblem game was never built on that.
Yeah.
Which is fair.
Yeah, and like something like Mass Effect, it doesn't really work the same way because, you know, Fire Emblem, you're playing from three sides.
Yes.
Mass Effect, there's no... I mean,
it's your team and the Reapers. That's
it. Like there's two sides, but you're only playing as one of them.
Yeah.
And, you know, so you do kind of have that, like, we can save everyone. But when you're playing from three different sides, you know, saving everyone requires that you defeat other people, which are, you know, if you're playing on the other side, also your people.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I'm not against the idea of like the golden ending in it, but I'm totally fine that they don't put it in. I think I like that better.
Yeah.
It makes me feel feelings, and I kind of wish that you could. But again, that's part of the feeling that they're actually trying to make you feel.
Yeah, it's like, you know, it's when you bring up the like concept of the golden ending, and it's like, oh, that would be so nice to just have like everyone. It's kind of like this thing you're reaching out, and you're like, I want it. But it's like, but it's probably best that they don't.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, the Cinder Shadows, back to the actual news. So, it's a side story. Like I said, it's not part of the main story. You started out from the main menu screen. There's a side story button on it. You select it. If you're a hardcore Fire Emblem fan, you probably already know this. But for those people who are looking for a reason to go back, here you go. You select a new Byleth. So, you have to pick a gender. You have to pick a name.
Oh.
And basically, it starts off, this is the closest you get to the golden ending in that... you're wandering around with the three house leaders pre-time skip. So again, there's going to be mild Three Houses spoilers,
yeah,
as I said earlier. And then they find a hole in the wall that they were chasing a ruffian through. And they were like, we should go investigate. And you're like, as a professor, I need to join you on this because it would be unsafe to do it otherwise. And then
it's been so safe up until now.
Exactly. It's kind of like Hogwarts. Well, yeah. Definitely still. But then they're like, well, we don't really have enough people to do it on our own. And then... luckily, Ash, Linhart, and Hilda show up, and it's like, now we have enough people to go investigate. So you go investigate, and you find what's called Abyss. Not called The Abyss, which
just
kept
Abyss.
Driving me crazy. They just kept referring to it as just Abyss. We need to go back to Abyss. I'm like, oh, man. That's so awkward to say.
Yeah,
it is. And long story short, it's the kind of but not really secret fourth house of... the monastery.
Okay.
Of Garrigmark Monastery. It's not really. What it more is sort of a sanctuary for people who don't have anywhere else to go, and it's sort of kept under wing by the church, but not really. Like, they don't want to make it a big deal.
So it's Hufflepuff.
Like, I guess, kind of. But it's more like we have a bunch of people who got kicked out of their houses or lost their titles in the dungeon. And one of them is like 28. He's one of the students. And at one point you get pointed out to him when he's kind of masquerading as a student.
Yeah.
And you're just like, you look way older than everybody else. Are you sure you can pull this off? Yeah, but I'm wearing a uniform. That doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You could have a full beard, man. So yeah, you meet four new students. Their names are Yuri, who's the new homosexual romance option if you're a male, because I know that was a big deal. There weren't, I think there were like two of them, which was sad. I think it was Linhart and Alois. And Alois has a wife and a kid.
So not really an option.
Well, I mean, it was, but you were tearing a guy away from his wife and kid. So it's like, you either got Linhart or you're a homewrecker. Those are your two options.
Those are your choices.
And Linhart's great, to be fair. But it's good they did need to add more because they have several female ones. So you have Yuri, who's a, they're each one of the new classes, or returning class, I should say, who's a trickster. And it's pretty much Claude 2.0, but maybe a little more dedicated to his house, in that he's just super sneaky. That's his personality. You have Balthus, who's called himself the self-proclaimed King of Grappling. He gets the War Monk class, which I always associate with being with axes, but he's big into punching stuff, but he can also use heal. That's the gist of it.
Okay.
So yeah, he also gets brand new legendary weapons that are fist weapons. You have Constance, who is a Dark Flyer. The most OP class of all time is returning. Yeah. It does not have Gale Force, as I told Adam earlier.
Yeah.
The skill that it gets now is called Transmute. If you're hit by magic, your stats go up by 3 for a turn. So it's basically it, sort of like, you know, every electric villain in any medium of all time, when they get hit by electricity, they power it.
Yeah,
that's what it is. And then last but not least, you have Happy, who is a Valkyrie. So basically another version, but he can use both dark and black magic on horseback. So those are your, and they need all those new classes and need a special Abyssian seal to train into. So you do need to finish the Abyss DLC before you can change regular characters into them. And then the Abyss DLC takes place, actually, it took me about 7 hours to complete in total. There's a small area in the underground to run around and talk to people, kind of like the Santa stuff. But technically it takes place over like one night. Because you go in there in the evening, and then you finish up, and it's morning. I'm like, that was really all one night. Good God.
Oops.
But we all developed a lot.
Yeah, they did. They, I mean, the characters never level up. Or I think, no, sorry, they do level up, but they don't carry that forward. So they all just start up at level 20, and then they ended up like level 31 or something like that. But what was really weird was, after I was done that, and the story was kind of cool, it sort of involves your mom, so you get to have some more Byleth backstory. The maps were pretty basic. That's been a big thing about Three Houses.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There were different objectives, though, which
that's,
I kind of liked.
Okay, that's something.
It was get through this door in time, or and every time you pass this, every time one of your units gets past this point, you're going to have a certain reinforcement come in to like counter them. So it was like, if you throw all of them at the same time, you're going to get a flood of reinforcements next turn. That was kind of neat. It's different stuff like that. It was kind of cool. But the major perplexing thing for me was, then you stop it, credits roll, enjoyed it, start up a main game to recruit the Abyss people. You meet them, they have no recollection of you. So I'm like, was that? It was a side story because it had nothing to do with anything when you start up the main game again. The Abyss characters are in the monastery. You can travel down to Abyss. You can talk to the people down there. There are some different NPCs. You can unlock something called the Shadow Library, where you get to read all the forbidden books.
Ooh, spooky.
I haven't actually gotten far enough.
It is Harry Potter. They just introduced the restricted section.
Yeah. Literally, that is just the restricted section. And there are a couple other different things you could do. Like, you can buy items and weapons with renown. So it's like, oh man, I don't have enough brave weapons, but I have plenty of renown. Let's just spend it on that. So there are some things like that. And then you can get, finally, a roster, which basically tells you the house that each person, or each lost item belongs to.
Yeah.
So instead of taking a random stab, you have, oh, well, this is a Black Eagle person. It does narrow it down a little bit.
Yeah, I just looked that up.
Which is...
I got really tired of...
That's A-okay. And it it also helps you with tea sessions.
Yeah.
Asking people to tea. Yeah. And that basically, if you make a wrong choice, it'll be like, I don't think you should make that choice.
Yeah,
and
I was pretty bad at
and then you have a chance to make it again. Well, I did it, and then... I guess one of the last big thing that introduced was tea with Rhea. So I'm like, sure, I'll have tea with Rhea. Why not? So I picked her favorite tea because I only really had the one option. I was like, neat. And then I made it all the way through the three. I think I blew one of the questions, but then I got it the second try. And then on the last one, which is the most, as Fire Emblem players know, is the most infuriating part of the tea, when you have to nod, blush, sigh.
Yeah. How are you supposed to know what to do?
Well, she asked me, how are you finding... settling into Garrig Monk.
Yeah.
And the options were disagree, sigh, or admonish. And I'm like, well...
Those all seem like bad choices.
I'll try admonish. Nope, don't try that one. Okay. I guess I'll try sigh.
Yeah.
Because it's certainly not disagree.
Yeah.
So I tried that and blew it. Yeah. And I was like, what? So I immediately did it again.
How can you even disagree with the question?
Yeah. It doesn't even make sense. Here's the worst part.
How are you doing with this? Nah.
Nah. I'm not. So I asked her to tee again for redemption. And once again, I got made it perfect all the way through to the end. This time, I had the option nod. So I'm like, that's got to be the right option. It was disagree last time, but it's not. It was nod this time. Oh, so it's like, is that entirely random?
It seems
maybe.
Like it.
That's
odd.
Yeah. So, I mean, that wasn't great. But if you're, in conclusion, in 12-minute conclusion, if you're looking for a reason to go back to Fire Emblem Three Houses because you enjoyed it, it's a fine reason. The new characters are fun. They have plenty of support conversation with other people. They're entertaining enough. It's good enough. If you have something that you are like, I only have Claude left, I've been looking for a reason to go back to it, this is the reason. Okay. That ends Simon's news hour. Sorry, guys.
Oops.
When you get to me talking about Fire Emblem, it gets a little bit rambly. But for the second half of the show, because as we said, we do have a full power hour coming at you, we are going to be doing a rematch of the, I would say, fun but not successful.
Yeah, I agree with
Is it still Pokemon themed?
Yeah, it's still Pokemon themed.
Pokemon Jeopardy. Who won last time? Was it technically me?
I think it was.
I think technically.
So we'll let Matt go first this time.
As much as anybody won.
Yeah, no one really won, but I got the closest.
Yeah.
So stay tuned for that. We'll be back in about 30 seconds. Hello, and welcome back to the second half of the Power Hour episode of Game Over, the premier video game show hosted by two brothers and a third guy, only live on 101.5 UMFM and UMFM.com. Don't know if I said it at the beginning, but I said it now.
Close enough.
Yeah. Close enough. So, we are going to be playing an epic rematch of Pokemon Jeopardy.
Yes.
It couldn't possibly go worse, which means it has to be better. Types? Oh, man. Okay, here we go.
Simon has seen the categories.
I've seen the categories. I'll let Adam prep it in a second, but before we do that, just so we have the buzzers, my buzzer sounds like this, and Matt sounds like this. Perfect.
As annoying as possible.
All right, Adam, take over.
Okay, so our five categories are myth takes. So those are myths and legends about Pokemon that are all wrong.
Okay.
Pokedex entries.
Okay.
Which are exactly what they sound like. Types, so just stuff related to types. All information is current to Gen 8. Weird moves and abilities.
Okay. Right.
So much more straightforward.
Very straightforward. Yeah. You'd think we've been better considering a new Pokemon game out like relatively recently. We can't even have that to hide behind, but no.
All right. Well, we'll see.
So as before, there's two daily doubles?
Yeah, there are two daily doubles splurged in here, and there is a final Jeopardy at the end.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, we'll let Matt go first.
Okay. Let's aim to get some actual positive points this time.
I'm
going to start with Pokedex for 100.
Pokedex for 100.
It's a good pick.
It rocks its body rhythmically. It appears to alter the rhythm depending on how it is feeling. From Gen 1. Simon.
Who is Clefairy?
No.
Oh, good guess, though. I have a thought, but I might just be tricking myself because it says rock in the thing. I'm going to go with Jigglypuff?
No.
Oof.
Not off to a great start. Pokemon Snap? Helping anybody?
No.
Oh.
I mean,
Jinx.
My initial
Jinx. See, Jinx
my
is
initial
totally
thought was Geodude, but I'm like, that's just because it says
Jinx
rock.
Is totally gone, been purged
from your mind. Well, we're not off to a great start.
Right.
Okay, Matt.
Well, let's just, you know, fail upwards. Let's go Pokedex for 200.
Okay. I like my answer better than Jinx, frankly.
For food, it digs up iron ore. It smashes its steely body against others to fight over territory. Matt?
Who is Aaron?
I'm going to accept that.
Same family?
Same family.
Hey,
Layron.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Dang it. Matt's got
more points than I got all last week. Let's go.
Yeah, you're in the positive. Okay.
Yeah.
Matt?
All right, keep the trend. Pokedex right. for 300.
A frozen one was dug up from soil dating back 10,000 years. It woke up to much amazement. Gen 4.
Oh my goodness. A frozen one was dug up from soil dating back 10,000 years.
Yeah.
I can't remember if this is the right gen, but I'm going to take a guess. Is it Arcan?
No.
Man, I don't know if I even have a guess, because I can't remember the is it? No, you know what? I'm not going to guess. I'll lose my points.
You're going to just let it go?
I'm just going to let it go.
Okay.
I don't feel confident.
What would you say if this was a real world thing? What would you say?
It's got to be one of the fossils.
I was thinking fossils.
No.
Really? Okay.
You're in the right area. It's Mammoth swine.
It's a mammoth.
Okay, that makes sense. It's not actually fossil, but it's fossil-ish.
Okay.
It's fossil adjacent.
You're still technically...
Hey, I'm winning now, so...
That's not how it works.
Yeah, you know what? I'm not doing so great on that one now. Let's do types for 100.
Yeah,
types for 100.
Strong
okay,
call on
here
that
we
one.
Go. Yeah. This move was originally question mark type before being changed to ghost. Simon.
What is curse?
That is the correct answer.
Yeah. I'm even.
At zero.
So currently it is Simon 0, Matt
negative 200.
Negative 200. I was about to give him 200 for free there. Let's go with Myth Takes for 100.
Myth
please.
Takes for 100. More a superstition at this point than a myth. Supposedly doing this while a Pokeball is shaking will make it more likely to catch a Pokemon. That was Simon, I think.
What is mashing A?
That is the correct answer.
Yeah.
I always did the combo of mashing A and... like doing circles on the D-pad.
Yeah, there's a lot of things around that.
Pokemon players and hockey players have little in common other than intense
I gotta say, I got to like Gen 6 before I like learned that
didn't
like
do
wasn't real. Yeah, like way too long.
That's what happens when you grow up in like schoolyards and you go and it's like, I did this and it worked. And it... that kid might not have been lying. It might have worked that one time, right?
Yeah.
And critical captures, I think, probably exist so people knew what they were. So it's like, I did it, and it instantly went in the ball. Yeah. Whatever you did now, you have to replicate.
All right, Simon.
Let's go with Myth Takes for 200, please, Adam.
There was an entire game theory episode debunking the widespread myth that red, blue, yellow players kill this Pokemon of blues.
Simon. What is Raticate?
That is the correct answer. Yeah.
Who was Raticate?
Yeah.
Ooh, healthy lead here. Don't want to get too cocky. Let's go with types for 200.
Types for 200. There are only four special ground type attacks. One is Earth Power. The other three all share this word in their names.
Oh, my goodness.
Simon.
What is Mud?
That is the correct answer. Mud Shot, Mud Slap, and Mud Bomb.
I felt so much less confident once I realized that Muddy Water was a water.
That's what I thought, too. I was like, oh, Muddy Water, wait.
Simon.
There we go. Oh, man, I'm on a roll now. Okay, let's go with Weird Moves for 100.
Weird Moves for 100. Substitute is a great protector against attacks, but this specific kind of special attack will bypass it entirely.
What is Faint?
No.
Isn't that the F-E-N?
Yeah, that bypasses Protect and Detect.
Oh, can I answer again?
You cannot answer again. I'm sorry. Matt, are you going to give an answer?
As soon as you say it, I'm going to be really annoyed.
It's also not an attack. It's a specific kind of attack.
Hey, now.
No.
He doesn't know.
That's my answer. It's sound.
That's correct. Yeah. I'm not giving you the points. Yeah. Okay. Still your turn.
Okay. Let's go with Weird Moves for 200. See if I don't blow it this time.
This move counts as two different types, both of which are stabbed for its signature user, Matt.
Flying Press.
That is the right answer. Yes. Yeah. What is Flying
Get
Press?
Get it right.
The right answer. Well done. Okay.
Signature move of Paul Lucha. So now we're about... Man, we're flying through this one. We're probably about a third of the way through the game. No daily doubles so far, but it is Simon 400, Matt.
Nothing.
0-100.
Crawling my way back up to the ground. Let's keep going. Weird Moves for 300.
Weird Moves for 3.
It's a good one.
In order to move your microphone powder moves, a Pokemon must either have the overcoat ability, be holding safety goggles, or this. Simon.
Be a grass type?
That is the right answer.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. What is be a grass type?
Yes, what is be a grass type?
I got told off for letting you guys off on that last
really?
Game. Yeah, they're like, it has to be in the Varmar question.
Okay, we blew it once. Yeah, so.
Because what is grass type?
Yeah.
It's a very logical question that would totally what lead to that answer.
Brand new sentence.
Yeah. All right, Simon, your turn.
Let's go with Weird Mission 400.
No way!
How much would you like to wager of your 700?
Well, let's wager 500.
500 it is. Here we go.
I don't know if that's a lot. I don't watch Jeopardy.
Be close, or you'll be absolutely crushing me by the end of this.
The damage of fling varies depending on the item being held. This weighty item gives it a whopping one. You don't get to guess, Matt. It's a daily devil.
I don't watch Jeopardy.
What is Iron Ball?
That is the correct answer.
I would have had it.
Could have been a contender.
It could have been a contender.
I have to give Simon. Oh, I have to go into a 100 thing to give Simon the extra 100. Okay, there we go. Simon's up 1,200 to nothing. It is still your turn.
Feeling pretty good. Let's do abilities for 100.
Abilities for 100.
This was the other
weakest daily category.
Besides
probably
their signature users, these situational stat boosting abilities are found on several electric types and the Kling Klang family. Simon.
What are plus and minus?
That is the right answer. Mm-hmm. Matt, you got to get on the board.
I'm not anticipating getting any from the ability category.
Oh, dear.
This is
definitely my weakest one.
Simon's going to hang out there then.
Yep.
Take one look at Chargebug and you should be able to name this, its signature ability that boosts the special attacks of allies.
I actually have no idea. So, considering I've been pretty comfortable, I'm not going to
I gave
risk
you
it.
A massive hint.
I don't know.
What does it enough look like?
Well, looks like a bus.
Looks like a bus.
Okay.
Looks like a bus.
Never mind then.
Clearly. All right, we'll pass it.
Or is Matt going to guess?
Nope, let's not go into the negatives.
Biscuit for the biscuit. What is battery? Oh, it
that
does,
would
I
have
guess
been my guess.
Well, you would have been right, Simon.
You're like every kid that I've ever been yeah a birthday party for. It was like, oh,
I was going to say that.
What's the tortoise shell made out of? Oh, I was just going to say keratin. Sure you were, 4-year-old.
Yeah, but I was going to say that.
Anyway, you're going to stick with abilities.
Yeah, I believe you, Matt. 300.
Yeah, pretty far here we behind. Go. I probably got to risk it.
Water absorb is mostly found on water types, but can also be found on three grass types, which all resemble this plant.
Now I got to know plants?
Yeah.
I don't know.
It's a pretty famous plant.
I mean, I can name one of the guys, but I don't think I can name the plant.
If you can name the guy, you can name the plant.
I think I know one of the guys, but I don't. Is it a lily pad?
No.
Yeah, because I thought Cradilli or I don't know.
Cradilli does not have water absorb. Cradilli has storm drain.
Oh, it's different. Okay, it must be a cactus or something. I don't know. No, I don't. I'm passing.
Shouldn't have passed.
God, it's a cactus.
All right.
Maractus, Cacti, and Cactor, and I'll have water absorb, and they are all cacti.
Mm.
Shucks.
Man, I gotta come big on some of these 500s.
Well, there's another Daily Devil still out there.
Yeah, but
you gotta get some points.
Can I bet negative points?
Negative 300 points.
I believe the rule in Jeopardy is you can always bet at least 500 on a Daily Devil.
Oh.
Just so you can at least always actually do
something. Yeah.
So it's not. Oh, I didn't mean to do that. Let's go with types for 300.
Types for 300.
Last time we were all over the board with the numbers. This time we're not. We're playing it safe.
This type has only two status moves, both of which raise multiple stats.
Whoa. Two status as in not physical or special.
And not physical or special. That's correct. Of all the moves of this type, there are only two that are status, and both of them raise multiple stats.
What is rock?
No.
No. I don't know.
You're just going to sit on that lead.
I am. Look, I'm playing strategic.
I mean, you can probably just wait there and watch me dig myself down to oblivion.
Does it help you if I tell you that one of them is a signature move?
No.
Didn't think so.
That's smart.
What is dragon?
No, never
Dragon Dance and Clangor's Soul.
Clangor's Soul, that's a move.
Yep.
That I totally know of.
Yep.
It's on
Como, yeah.
Yeah, Como.
I got it now.
Yeah. Okay.
Sure, let's go with weird moves for 500.
Most protection moves have 10 PP. All three which don't have this typing.
Most protection moves have 10 PP.
As in protect.
Like protect, attack, yeah.
All the things that do that. There's about 8 of them.
Simon, what is fighting?
That is the right answer. Detect has 5, Mat Block and Quick Guard have 15. And they're all fighting type.
Yeah, it's tough being in this much of a leader.
You gotta get in the game here. All right, you've exhausted weird moves.
So currently the difference, because that makes it sound even better, is 2,400.
Yep.
Yes.
How many points are left in the game?
More than that, but not by
Yeah, there's
much.
2,000 there. There's 3,900 is left.
3,900, so I could still lose.
And there's a Daily Double somewhere, and there's Final Jeopardy. Matt just needs to get into the positives, and he's probably going to be okay.
I'll bet like $1 on Final Jeopardy. Let's go with Myth Takes for 300.
Myth Takes
just
for 300.
Just because I like the name.
In Red, Blue, and Yellow, myths abounded about how to get one's hands on a Mew, including time to get fined. Matt.
It's a truck. What is a truck?
What is the truck? Yes.
Yeah. I wasn't sure if it was a truck or a van, so yeah, fair play on that one. Okay, here goes.
Matt, you finally get to
I got one.
Here it comes.
All right, seeing as I actually won points on that one, let's keep going. Myth Takes for 400.
Myth Takes for 4. According to the anime, it's not ground that's immune to electric, but this type. Matt.
What is rock?
That is correct.
Oh.
Can you give me the quote?
Nope.
Electric attacks do not work on the rock Pokemon.
There you go.
I do remember Ash using Rhydon's horn as a lightning rod.
Screaming at the screen when the guy said that. Yeah. Anyway, Matt.
Here we go.
You're the positive star.
I'm very
going.
Nervous
He's
now.
Myth Takes for 500.
Myth Takes for 500. Perhaps in an effort to make a useless Pokemon seem viable, this normal type move was rumored to have a small chance to instantly KO an opponent.
This is my actual guess, but what is Rest by Jigglypuff in Super Smash Bros.? It seems like a reasonable... I don't know if I've ever heard that myth in my entire life.
That's why it's a 500.
Well, I guess, but... I mean, Matt's got a...
I feel like I just need to take a shot, but
he's
like...
He's one of the pressure zone.
100% complete stab in the dark.
Normal type stab in the dark?
Yeah. I have no idea. What is Body Slam?
No. I'm sorry.
I've never heard
Who's
of
the most
before?
Useless Pokemon in the world?
Magikarp. Splash?
Splash.
Splash.
Yeah, I guess most Pokemons that have Body Slam are actually pretty good, probably. So.
All right, Matt, it's still technically your turn.
All right.
Only 400s and 500s on the board.
Hey, let's do Pokedex for 400.
Pokedex for 4. Around dawn, its ominous howl echoes through the area to announce that this is its territory, Gen 2. Simon.
What is Mightyena?
No.
Ooh.
Gen 2.
Although that is a...
It is Gen 2.
That is a good guess.
Oh, Mightyena is Gen 3, yeah.
I almost picked Mightyena for this, actually. Matt?
What is Suicune?
Oh, you should have stuck with Simon's idea. He was closer.
Should have bought a
Houndour.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All right, Matt. You've got to hold it in yourself out of.
Pokedex for 500.
Oh, boy. I think this one's quite tough, too. It sends electricity through its legs to boost their strength. Running at top speed, it easily breaks 50 miles an hour.
Gen 8. So it's a brand new one.
Yep.
So let me think of all the new
That's
things.
That's the only reason it's hard, Matt.
Who is Boltund?
That is the correct
answer. Oh, man.
Yeah.
I do not like that Pokemon, but he's given me points, so now he's my favorite.
Minus 300, Matt.
Okay. Let's do types for 400.
If I'm not wrong, he can no longer catch me, right?
If I crush it on the Daily Double.
Yeah, the Daily Double's still available,
too. That's true, Daily Double.
Which actually...
No!
So you do get to bet up to 500 here, because you're still in the negative.
Let's do it.
He's going for it. Right,
you got to risk it for the biscuit.
There we go. So you get this question all to yourself.
Okay.
Not counting legendary Pokemon or Mega Evolutions, only 6 fire types have a base defense stat of 100 or more. Name 2.
Good luck.
Okay.
This question was originally only one pure fire type. Name it. I expanded it to include dual types.
Okay.
There you go. Thank you.
There's the deal. That'll sound effect for you.
Okay. I have an idea for one. I have no idea.
Basically, all of the options have something in common.
That's just mean. 6
fire types. I think I know it.
Right. Yeah.
Well, do you have one, Matt? Can you get us part of the way?
Sure. Say Camerupt?
No. Mega Camerupt does. Mega? But I said not counting Mega Evolutions. So you're already out.
All right.
Oh, dear.
Well, it's clearly Magcargo.
That is one, yes.
Is
one. Okay. And I'm trying to think if there's another rock fire type, and I'm pretty sure there is, but I'm blanking. It's definitely got to be a rock type, right?
I believe Magikarp was the only rock one.
No. Oh,
never but mind. But you're in the right area. You need a shell.
I was thinking Torkoal?
Torkoal is one.
Torkoal is what I was thinking of, but yeah, it's not wrong.
Torkoal is the only pure fire type. The full answers are Marowak, Alolan, Magcargo, Torkoal, Rotom Heat, Darmanitan, Zenmode, and Turtonator.
I maybe would have gotten... I don't know if I would have known that Rotom Heat and Darmanitan.
Yeah, Torkoal would have been the only one that I...
That's why I was like, these three, Turtonator, Torkoal, and Magcargo, I was like, those are reasonable. That's why I said only name two.
Yeah.
Fair. Fair
All right, so Matt is...
You gotta do some math, that's bad boy. Yeah. Need a calculator, graphing calculator, need some functions.
So it is 1,400 to negative 800. Matt, which of the three remaining questions would you like?
Okay, now he can no longer catch me.
But he can technically get into positives, and then you can ruin your own life on the Final Jeopardy.
Yes. Well, you gotta risk everything.
I have a
Final
chance,
Jeopardy.
Like the Ottawa Senators.
Although, admittedly, Final Jeopardy is... Ouch. Final Jeopardy, I think, is quite easy this
time. 1 in 1,000 odds for winning the Stanley Cup, according to TSS.
Simon can still sabotage himself.
That's very true.
And I plan to.
Let's do types for five.
Types for five. This dual-type Pokemon has four weaknesses: Bug, Ice, Fighting, and Steel. However, if it was either of its single types, it would have five weaknesses instead.
Goodness gracious.
So there are only two types with five weaknesses. And this Pokemon is both of them, but the combination means it only has four. Right. So if you can figure out what the types are that have five weaknesses each... I'm going to give you a hint. The Pokemon is green.
It's green. Okay.
Immediately I went to rock grass.
You got to buzz in for that bad boy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm looking for the Pokemon.
Yeah, I was looking for the Pokemon.
Oh.
Now I'm really struggling to think of.
No. Well.
Simon?
Who is Cradilly?
Is the right answer. Matt is right. It's rock grass.
Yeah. Thanks for that. I was trying to think. I thought that.
You had the types. You just needed the Pokemon.
Cradilly would not have come into my head.
All right. Well, two options left, Simon. Which would you like?
Let's go with abilities for 500.
Okay, Matt, here you go. This tricky ability is the hidden ability of three psychic families, but only found naturally on three megas, none of whom are psychic type.
Okay, so they gain... Let's unpack this bad boy. So they gain psychic type when they become...
No, they do not gain the psychic type. They gain this ability when they mega evolve. They don't naturally have it. And then the only non-megas to have it are three psychic families as hidden abilities.
Oh.
And... I'll give you this spoiler. If your Pokemon has this as a hidden ability, you're using it. It's one of the best in the game.
Okay. No,
I have one that came to my head that I know is wrong, but I can't get out of my head now.
I don't know. I don't think I have it, so. Actually, no, I have a guess, but I'm not confident. Well, you know.
You have a huge lead.
What is Magic Bounce?
It's the right answer.
Oh, my goodness.
That is on Mega Absol, not Psychic, Mega Diancie, and I forget who the other Mega is. But it's on Zatu, it's on Espeon, and it's on Hatterene as hidden abilities.
Quite impressive.
I forget who the third Mega who has it.
Let's talk about how wonderful it was that I got that. That's why I look at my 2,400 points.
Well, last clue. Here we go.
All right.
Blaze, Overgrow, and Torrent are mostly unique to the starters, but are also found on these... Matt?
The...
I don't know their names.
Like Pansear.
Yes.
Simisear.
Ed.
No, those are the same ones. Fire type. Pansear, Pansage, Panpour.
There you go. Correct answer. I put the Simis, but yes, absolutely.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. So, we are down to Final Jeopardy. The score is 2,400 to negative 400.
Okay.
So, I think Simon's fairly safe.
I'm going to wager to that. Wait, no. I'm not going to reveal it. I'm going
to
wager.
That's right. You're supposed to send it to me privately.
Yes.
What I'm going to do is write it on my phone. I'm going to take a blank Snapchat.
In Final Jeopardy, Matt will be eliminated for having a negative score.
Whatever the maximum I can bet is, it's that.
Okay. Well, in the interest of making this interesting, I'm going to let you bet 1,000.
Okay.
Your category is Mewtwo.
Oh, cripes. Okay. Let me urgently reevaluate this. By the way, what are we playing for? Poke? Is that the unit that we're playing?
Oh, yeah, Poke dollars.
So 2,000 is like...
Nothing at all.
$12?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, it's basically pennies.
When a lemonade costs 800.
And Simon's winning 2400 of it. All right, your wager is in.
Yeah, I'm gonna lock it in.
Okay.
That's how I wrote it, just like in Final Jeopardy.
Here we go. Yeah, I like that. Okay, and remember, this is not a buzzer question. This is a you have to write this down and show me privately question.
I'll write it down.
And then Simon can start the music.
Yeah.
Mewtwo has always relied on TMs, but never more so than when he got Mega Mewtwo X. This psychic-type attack is the only physical move Mewtwo learns naturally.
Okay.
Begin the music. I need the only physical move Mewtwo learns naturally. As of, like, Gen 4. From Gen 4 on, this is the only one.
Oh, we're going to need more time than that. Oh, man.
Oh, I thought this was going to be really easy. I'm glad I didn't make it harder.
I always used Mega Mewtwo Y.
Yeah, me too. So, before we reveal our answers, I have just been told something interesting.
I want to get something clarified, too, before we... Okay. But, yeah, continue.
Someone has just informed me of this. The Daily Double rules are, if you are in the hole, you can bet the largest amount of money visible on the board.
Oh, okay.
So that is... So if we did Double Jeopardy, mm-hmm. it would be 1,000 in that round.
Okay.
Okay. What are you clarifying?
This is a physical attack, not an attack that does physical damage.
That is
damage.
Correct. It is a physical attack.
Okay.
Okay. So I guess we'll go to Matt first, who's sitting in the hole.
Yep.
Simon, you have your answer written down?
Yes.
Okay. All right, Matt.
Yeah, I also... Do I just show you?
Yeah, just...
Okay.
That is the correct answer.
Oh, my goodness.
So Matt gains... What did I say? I was letting him bet 1,000
I think 1,000.
So Matt is up to 600 points. That is also the correct answer. Psycho Cut is the right answer.
I can only think of two possible options. That is Psycho Cut or Zen Headbutt, right?
Yeah, it's between the two. Yeah, it's. I found that quite interesting when I was looking through his test. I was like, oh, he has a Mega that's physical, and he learns nothing. Everything else is special or status.
Interesting. Well, I'm glad I made it into the positives, at least, I think.
So your final score... Oh, Simon, that's right. Simon bet a lot of money.
Yeah, I bet much money.
So the final scores are Matt 600, Simon 4,400.
Yay. Enough.
That's right, everybody. I'll be the new... What's his name that did like that insane run on Jeffrey?
Oh, Ken Jennings.
Not Ken.
No, the other
one.
The other guy. Ken Jennings is the only name I know.
He was way better.
Yeah. But Simon, you can now buy 22 Pokeballs. Congratulations.
and that gets me two Premier Balls. We would have known that one.
I put that on there last time.
I think we did get that one last time. Yeah.
But there we go. That's a much better showing.
That was fun, though. We should maybe try to do some form of Jeopardy every month.
Dark Souls.
Dark Souls Jeopardy.
Oh, boy.
Or actually... Soulsborne Jeopardy.
Yeah, Souls.
Okay. I'm gonna open up to the whole thing. I'll just have one on Sekiro, and Sign will be useless.
Yeah, note to self, replay Sekiro or finish Sekiro and Bloodborne before next time that one starts. Okay, but that was a lot of fun, but that pretty much does finish our time. So next time we'll be returning to our regular time and regular length and to our regular themed show. So everyone have a great week, and we will see you next time.